I want to spend a few moments talking about the spirit of adoption. This weekend, I had to go down to Mineral Point, just outside of Potosi, Missouri, way south, for a funeral of one of our pastors who passed away this last week. It's about a 4.5-5 hour trip down there, and I didn't want to drive it all in one day. So I called one of my old teenagers, Jason Clark, and I said, you got a couch or a floor that I can sleep on? He said, yeah, come on. He lives in St. Louis. He said, matter of fact, our church is in revival. And I said, well, I'll just meet you at church. And so I went down and went to church at Diverse City Church in St. Louis Friday night with Pastor Ray Sewell, and they had evangelist Ryan Johnson was there. I'd never heard of him before. Great guy, good speaker. And he began to talk Friday night in his sermon. He began to talk about the blessing that comes from father to son. And he began to talk about how that our society has come into a place where we don't bless our children anymore, but rather we curse them. We don't spend time speaking life into our kids, speaking life into the generations behind us. Let's take that word kids out of it because that messes some of us up. Into the generations behind us. Some of you are a generation ahead of me. And some of you are adults. Boy, that makes me feel old. Some of you adults are a generation behind me. And just like I need to speak hope and life into the children, I got to speak hope and life into the children. The youngins. Most of you know I was a youth pastor for a number of years, and there's so many people in our church that would have been in my youth groups. Pastor Brian, Pastor Anna, Crystal, Laura Gordon. Now, you know, some people some people is okay, you know. But then Laura Gordon, I just don't see her as being young enough to have been in my, yeah, I know Tina. I mean, we've got all these that would have been in my youth groups. Yeah, even you. But let me tell you something. We've got to speak life into these younger generations. But you know we don't do that. We go around telling what's wrong with them. We talk about the millennials. We start, oh, if they would just get a job. If they would quit protesting everything and get a job, they may figure out there's not as much to protest. Not that I've ever said that. But we begin to find out when we pay attention that we don't speak life into generations behind us, but rather we try to tear them down and we continuously go back to the same things, and this is a generational curse. It happens generation after generation. Generations above me used to say it about me. Generations above them said it about them. Well, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, some of the people you say that's dead and gone, and we're still moving. We speak death. And as Brother Johnson began to speak Friday night, he began to talk about bringing life. And he got into the idea, the big part of his sermon, coming to the idea of understanding the spirit of adoption. And as soon as he said that, my spirit began to leap and churn. He began to talk about how that we've got to come into a place that we understand that we are children of God. That we are heirs of God. And that we are ambassadors of God. And he said, if we can understand those three things, He said it will change our life. Number one, if you're the child of God, you have access and freedoms that nobody else gets. Come here, boy. This is my child. Matter of fact, this is my baby. You know what? He can do things that I won't let anybody else do. Yeah. Now, I'll yell at him first. But he's my son. I will allow him freedoms. I will allow him mercy. I will allow him to use. I don't always give my credit card to people, but I've been known to hand my credit card to him. I've had a few other people I've handed it to, but I checked the receipt when they got back. I let him have special treatment. Why? Because he's my son. All right, you can go sit down. I got another son. You guys know I love to pick on Anthony. I love to pick on Anthony. He's my hippie boy. He's out there somewhere. He's just out there somewhere. And as much as I pick on him, he gets benefits that nobody else gets. He's trying to buy a car. He can't figure out how to make it work. People are selling to him, will finance it for him. He needs $1,000 down. Dad, I ain't got $1,000. Son, you just had that big job. I spent it all. That sounds like a 21-year-old, doesn't it? I spent it all. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can come to me and give me a sob story. You need a car and you need $1,000. And I'll say, I'll pray with you. Him, I called my retirement plan. How much can I borrow from my retirement? And I sent the paperwork in to borrow the money so he can get a car. Why? He's my son. When you understand that you're a child of God, somebody think about this. When you understand that you're a child of God, you get privileges that nobody else gets. When you need something, God, who owns the cattle, you're a child. He said the next thing we got to understand, not only are we a child, we are an heir. You know what an heir is? An heir is the inheritor. I grew up hearing this line. This was my daddy's line. Where there's a will, no. Where there's a will, there's usually relatives. I heard that my whole life. Praise God, I have in the safe deposit box at Citizens Bank right now a will of Ira and Paul. And praise God, there's some relatives listed on that will. There were is the heir of all. My mom ever dies, I may start wearing high heels. They are size 5 and my foot's a size 12, so I don't know how that's going to work. But I'm going to have the biggest shoe sale. If you're a size 5, you're going to want to see me. But let me tell you something. I am an heir to everything they have. A few years back, my dad went to buy a pickup truck. He began to look around, and he had test drove a few trucks. I went with him, looked at some. And we're talking about, I said, well, Dad, here's what I think you need to do. Because the plan was he's going to buy one truck and he was going to keep it because he keeps cars till they're dead. And I said, here's what you need to do, Dad. You need to get you an extended cab Dodge. He goes, well, why do you think I need to get a Dodge? I said, because that's what I want and I'm your only kid. And if you'll buy an extended cab Dodge one of these days, I will have an extended cab Dodge. He didn't listen. He bought a single cab Chevy. I mean, you know. But let me tell you something. I have an inheritance. I am an heir. When they buy something, when they do something, they always tell me, we're spending your inheritance. I said, as long as you spend it on something I want, I don't care. I'm an only child. I get it all. Now, when you begin to understand that you're an heir, and who are you an heir to? You're an heir to the throne of God. That means that everything that is His, it's yours. Everything that belongs. We're heirs. We need to understand that we are ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? If you go to China, when we were in China, we were driving around on the bus, and they pointed out the window. They said, see that building? That's the embassy. And if you were to walk the embassy in Hong Kong, when you walked inside the gates, you walked onto American soil. And when you walk out of the gates, you're in Hong Kong. America, Hong Kong. America, Hong Kong. I'm in both. When you understand ambassadorship, the first thing you understand is that when we set our feet, it is no longer the sinful nature of this world, but we are an ambassador of heaven itself. And when we walk down this corrupt, evil nation, this corrupt, evil world, we walk our feet into the portals of heaven everywhere we go. Let me tell you something else about ambassadors. In America, we have this thing, and the name of it just slipped my mind, but it meant that an ambassador can't be arrested. Diplomatic immunity, thank you. The devil's going to come at you and he's going to tell you the things you can't do and the things you're guilty of, but you can look him in the eye and say, I am an ambassador. We're children, we're heirs, and we're ambassadors. Now, as he preached, and he talked about the spirit of adoption, he mentioned a passage of Scripture, and my heart fluttered. Now, I'm not preaching his sermon, I was just telling you what I heard. So now we'll get to my sermon. I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 5. New King James Version of the Bible reads this way. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, listen to this verse. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, he who raised Christ,
you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your power, for your anointing. And Lord, I ask that as this is stirred in my spirit, allow me the opportunity to share it in a way that will cause a stirring in everyone who hears this message, everyone who hears this sermon. And Lord, I pray for your direction and your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Tonight I'm going to talk for a few minutes about this spirit of adoption. What does it mean when we become adopted? I had a friend of mine, my best friend growing up was adopted. But I'm going to tell you, every time we walked into the house, he called out, "Mom, Dad," and his adopted mother and father cared for every need he had. He never knew his mother, but he knew his mother. He never knew who his father was, but he knew his father. Why? Because the adoption had not just been a legal document, but he carried the name, he carried the desire, he carried the love of that family. As I began to look at this passage of Scripture, I began to look and see some situations and some circumstances that we need to address. Some of us are living with the spirit of the orphan. You know what an orphan does? Think of an orphanage. I've never been in an orphanage. I know some of you have. But when I watch TV, and I see them go to an orphanage, the kids would line up. And they were going to pick one of them to go home with them. And the kids would. We want to be picked. You know, that's the way we treat God. We come to church as orphans. And we think that if we dress up nice, if we raise our hands, then God will pick us and bless us. We're trying to earn blessings. We're trying to earn God's attention. We think that if we come in and we put on a big enough show, we get loud enough, and we do it on different realms. Either we're going to be super spiritual, because if I'm super spiritual, praise God, and God, or if I look like I've been run over by a lemon truck. As my dad used to say, I look like I've been drinking lemonade through a gas pipe. Then God will look down and he'll see how bad it is for me and he'll pick me. You ever watch the show Undercover Boss? I'm going to tell you, if I was working in a job and they had some cameras following some guy trying to get a job, dude, I would tell every bad story I had. Oh, yeah, my wife, she's got MS. Well, she's a cripple is what she is. She's just, and it's been difficult. And I'd put the worst spin on, because if you ever watch that show, the people who have the worst stories, they get the most money at the end of the show. We're gonna buy you everything you need to take care of your wife. Oh, thank you. I never expected it. Come on now. Now, when we have the spirit of orphan,
We come into the house of God and we try to manipulate God into choosing to bless us. But when we find the spirit of adoption and we understand that we are sons and daughters of Christ, of God, we understand that we're joint heirs with Jesus. We understand that we are children of God. Then when we walk into the house of God, we don't have to beg for attention. Oh, instead we just cry, Abba, Father, Daddy God. But Pastor, how do we get there? We got to defeat some things in our life first. We start with the life of the flesh. In these first few verses, listen to this. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, you want to know if you're living the life of the flesh? What are you thinking about? Come on now. Do you spend your time thinking about things of the flesh? Nobody likes me. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough food. If God really loved me, I'd have a better job. Some of us are just happy you got a job, brother. God really loved me, I'd have a better car. I don't understand why this happens and that happens, but it's all of the flesh. Or do we think of the Spirit? God, I need your power. I need your anointing. Lord, I will walk in suffering because you walked in suffering. Where is our mind? We walk into the church and too many times our minds have been set on the things of the flesh. That's my seat. You parked in my parking spot. That's my song. Come on. That. I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with Pastor Anna. She sang a song tonight. She didn't even sing it right. You know why you didn't sing it right? Because you didn't sing the way I've always sang it. And she's messing up my song. Diane knows what song it was too. Because Diane's been around as long as I have. We sang it different in years gone by. Pastor Anna's going, what in the world are you talking about? I'll tell you later. Yes, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And it would have been easy for me to go, oh, she's wrong. I just can't worship that. I had the radio on this week on the trip, and I heard some other group other than Matt Redman do Good Father. Isn't it Matt Redman? No. Who does Good Father? Chris Tomlin. Somebody else did good, and they did it different. And I was like, they ain't doing that right. That's one of my songs. I know how to sing that one. They ain't singing it right. And it's amazing how much we get in the flesh saying that we're trying to work. All of a sudden, we set our minds on things of the flesh. We're more worried. We set our minds. The life of the flesh comes because we set our minds on things of the flesh. Verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you have life in the flesh, you become carnally minded. You know what carnally minded is?
that means you think only about yourself. It means that you don't think in terms of the Spirit of God. You don't think in terms of how God is moving. You don't think in terms of the anointing. You think in terms of what is in it for me. You know what's wrong with a lot of Pentecostal churches in America? You know what's wrong with Souls Harbor Church of God sometimes? We don't think about what for to be carnally minded, to be selfish in your thought, to be thinking about how does this affect me, is death. You got to be spiritual to find life. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, because the selfish mind, the fleshly mind, the humanistic mind, our children, our young people have been inundated with humanism and humanistic thought, and we've been taught that humans are the king of all. And it is an enmity. It becomes an enemy against God. It becomes an attack against God. It is not subject to the law of God. We don't follow after God's word. We don't read the Bible. You cannot. We've got to come to a place that we quit worrying and living with a carnal mind. We quit. Many people think that they can trust God if they can figure God out. You will never figure God out. You're not subject to the law of God, nor can you be. Look at verse 8. So then those cannot please God. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. It doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how loud you sing. Doesn't matter how fast you dance. It doesn't matter how quick you run the aisles. Doesn't matter how good you preach. Doesn't matter what you do, because if you're carnally minded, if your mind is focused on fleshly things, you're not going to please God. I can get up here and shout and scream and hoot and holler. I can run the aisles. I can preach till I don't have a voice. But if my mind isn't focused on spiritual things, if I don't set my mind to follow the will of God, but instead I'm always trying to figure out how are people going to react to me, can I make people like me, I will get to the place that I don't please God. We talked about that this morning. Cain was given a great job. He was given a job to till the earth. The only way that they ate, the way I see it, was from the garden. The earth was cursed. I want you to tame it. I want you to do battle. And somewhere Cain took on the idea of his name that he had attained, he had acquired. And when he brought his little bit of offering, as we talked this morning, God didn't respect him and he didn't respect his offering. You know why? He was carnally minded. He thought in the flesh. He walked in the flesh. It was all about the flesh. And when it's all about the flesh, you cannot please God. Pastor, does that mean that we're out of hope? No. It means we've got to change the way we think. You know how to fix most problems in most churches, including this one? Get rid of stinking thinking. Get rid of everybody looking out for themselves and get people start looking out for God. get people to quit worrying about what other people are going to say and people just follow what God tells them to do. People quit trying to get other people fixed and fix themselves. We get rid of stinking thinking. We quit thinking carnally. We quit thinking fleshly. And we start thinking spiritually. Then we get to move into the life of the Spirit. Verse 9 says this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." If we don't let the Spirit dwell in us, if we don't let the Spirit become the direction of our life, I got news for you. You don't belong to God. I just messed with somebody. Well, I do too. I prayed that prayer. I'm going to tell you something. Pray, you can pray any prayer you want to pray, but until you let the Spirit direct your steps, you're not his. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you're not following the steps of the Spirit, you're not God's. And you've got to change that. You're not in the flesh anymore. You have been born. And given peace. Trust God. A great preacher of our generation once said, "God's got this." Okay, so now I need to pray about getting in the flesh. Let me tell you something. We've got to understand that God's in charge. Verse 9. Says we're not his if we don't walk in the Spirit. Verse 10, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." If Christ is in us, we understand that we have died. We have died. I love Brother Curtis. Brother Curtis said that we don't know the original Curtis Silcox because he died many years ago. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. I died on an altar in Mesa, Arizona when I was 16 years old. I died that day. I'm not the same person I was before then. God has saved me. God has blessed me." I'm alive today because I walk in the blood of Jesus Christ. Come by here to tell you. We spend so much time trying, "Well, I know who I am. I just got to be me." No, you don't have to be you. You belong to God. Right, exactly. "Well, Pastor, God just made me cynical. I was cynical before I got saved, and I'm still cynical." That's just the way God made me. No, it isn't. You haven't given up the flesh. "I'm just a worrier. I just worry about things. It's just the way God didn't make you that way. Sin made you that way. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a love and a peace and a sound mind." Don't come to me and tell me that your sin, pawn it off. Let me talk about where we live. My addiction. I just have to deal with my addiction. No, you don't. God set you free of that addiction. Oh, and I said that. Some of you looked at Sister Tina. I even looked at her. Because God's delivered her of her addiction.
Woo! Amen.
But let me tell you something. Some of you need to look no further than the mirror. Because you're addicted to pornography every week. You're always on websites you don't need to be on. Come on now. Some of you don't need to look any further than the mirror because you're addicted to gossip. If you can get a good story, telephone, telegraph, and tell a Church of God member. Best way to get information out around town. You're addicted to appreciation. Oh, I got to do whatever I can to get somebody to pat me on the back and say I did okay.
We're addicted to attention. We're addicted to tradition. We're addicted to religion. I got news for you, folks. We need to quit laying and saying that's just who we are and start understanding that sin is dead in our life. Our body is dead, and we are alive through the Spirit because of God's righteousness. And we've got a responsibility to lay aside the thoughts of carnal thoughts and the fleshly thoughts, and to live life in the Spirit. The next verse here. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If we believe that Jesus died and was buried and laid in a tomb for 3 days and on the third day rose up alive, then why in the world can we not believe that the same Spirit that was in Him that now dwells in us can lift us up when we've had a bad day? When do we figure out? When do we figure out that we don't have to suffer? We've been made alive through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We keep thinking we can do anything we want to do. No, that's not what it says. It says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go back and read it in context. Paul says, I know what it's like to have a lot of money. I know what it's like to have no money. I know what it's like to be popular. I know what it's like to be beaten. And I found in whatever state I am to be content because I can do all things through Christ. You know, if you want to give me $1 million, I can be rich through Christ. But if you want to take every dime I got, I can be poor. Not in myself. I'm preaching hard. I'm tired. We have a choice. I wish I could have everybody come to the front of this church. And I wish I could have you raise your hand and I could swear you in as a Christian, you'd always be a Christian. I wish there was a button on behind your left ear. Your left ear. I wish there was a button I could push and you would have no problems and no difficulties, and you would live as a strong Christian the rest of your life, faithful in everything you did. That button doesn't exist. That oath doesn't exist. We have to trust God. We have to make a choice. Here's what Paul writes to the Romans. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Let me tell you something. We all have a debt. Your debt is not to your flesh. Praise God. Somebody should have shouted there.
Amen.
Now let me explain why you should have shouted. Because our debt is not to our flesh. I didn't understand this 20 years ago. I didn't understand 20 years ago that I was going to get old. 20 years ago, I was always going to be young. And I was going to be able to do whatever I wanted to do. I could eat whatever I wanted to eat. I could go anywhere I wanted to do. I could do it. 20 years later, I'm not 28 anymore. I'm 48. And all of a sudden, I can't eat anything I want to eat. We went home today and we were going to do leftovers. We were going to be good. And I walked into the kitchen and looked at our leftover selection and went, really don't want any of this. And thankfully, Beth said, I don't either. And I was like, well, what do you want? And we sat there we didn't eat lunch till 2:30, 3 o'clock because we couldn't figure out what we wanted. I said, I wish I just had something in my mind that said, ooh, that sounds good. But none of it sounded good. And we couldn't go to McDonald's. They were closed. And I was like, I don't know. And I looked in the freezer, and we got some hamburgers that I could cook. And we went and got some. A few weeks ago, we lived on the East Coast for a number of years, and we lived just outside of Philly, and I've started making Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. And I had a box of steakums that I used from a Philly cheesesteak. I go, yes, I can make steak sandwiches. And we were like, yeah. So finally, we was like, yeah, that sounds better than a hamburger. It wasn't that I wanted a steak sandwich. It just sounded, yeah. And I went in there, and I made Beth a steak sandwich, and I started making mine and had some peppers and onions. And on the first sandwich, Beth is a little lady. She only got one. I got two because I'm a small man. And I made my first steak sandwich, and I was almost done cooking it. About to put the cheese on it to melt, and I thought, I forgot peppers, hot peppers. I go, I know. Reached over and grabbed my Szechuan pepper, ground pepper, and I just sprinkled a little bit on it. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't get much on it because I didn't even taste it when I ate it. But when I went to make the second one, I said, now I'm not going to forget my peppers this time because I just bought me some jalapenos. And I reached in the cabinet and I got my jalapenos. And if I would have been smart, I'd have put one or two on there. But I grabbed a fork full of them. Oh, a little more. And I had a pile of jalapenos. And I fried those things up. And I melted my cheese and I put it on my bread. And I ate my first sandwich and it was, I didn't have much kick to it. Man, I started eating the second one. And it had just, I like food that bites back just a little bit. And it wasn't one of those I was sweating because it was so hot. Well, Pastor, why you tell that story? Because I'm up here preaching now, several hours after I ate. And all of a sudden, got a little heartburn going on. Wow. Ooh, that's a little warm. Now, 20 years ago, that wouldn't have happened to me. But my flesh keeps getting older. I sat in a funeral yesterday. The man was almost 68 years old. He was 67. Right at just under 20 years older than me. I was in this state 20 years ago, and I knew him 20 years ago. And the thought hits me as I'm sitting in the funeral. Man, when I was here before, he was my age. I look at him now, even before he got sick, I looked at him, he was still an old man. He didn't age real well. He looked old for the last several years. And I thought, dude, he was my age. Which got me to thinking that when I came home from college and 2 years at school, went home and lived for a year, my daddy was younger than I am now. He was old to me. And all of a sudden, I begin to realize there's only two more options in my life. I'm going to get older or I'm going to get deader. If my debt was to my flesh, I would never be able to repay it. Because my flesh is unforgiving. I can't do the things I want to do anymore. I can't eat the things I want to eat anymore. I all these things I can't do. Why? Because my flesh is weak. Oh, but praise God, I'm not a debtor to my flesh. but rather to the Spirit of God who has already paid the price. He paid a debt I could not pay. He paid the price for my life. He paid the price for my sin. He paid the price for everything I need. I have been bought with a great price, and I belong to Him, and I am in debt to Christ, not to the devil, not to my flesh. I have, by living in the Spirit, I have put to death the deeds of my body. I have put to death the weakness of my body. Hear what I'm telling you? When you start to trust the Spirit, you do things that are not bound by your body. A couple weeks ago, we had a revival. I took off out that door and ran around this church. I'm going to tell you, my body can't do that. But my spirit did. So then we come to living in the spirit of adoption. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. For as many that are willing to follow the Spirit. For as many who quit worrying about the flesh. For as many who quit worrying about other people. I'm going to tell you, there's a part of me that I would love if God would never put the verse in the Bible that says, "Forsake not the gathering together of the saints." Because if I could just worship God at home by myself and didn't have to put up with people, oh, hallelujah! Pastor, why would you say that? Because sometimes dealing with people is a pain. What if they don't like me? What if they don't this? What if they don't that? Somebody's always got an attitude. I'm going to tell you, somebody's always got an attitude with me. I don't know why. I'm so nice and gentle. But all of a sudden, I begin to understand by this verse, for as many who are led by the Spirit, don't worry about people. I'm not led by men. I'm not led by people. I'm not led by money. I'm not led by position. I'm led by God. For as many who are led by the Spirit, that's a decision you got to make. But when you become led by the Spirit, look at what he says. For as many who are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. And that word sons there is inclusive of daughters too. Let's not get carried away. These are sons of God. These are children of God. When you are led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, when you're in the flesh, you're in fear. When you're in the flesh, you're in the fear because you're always worried about what's going to happen. How is this going to play out? What is going to happen next? Who's going to say this? Who's going to do that? How are they? Are they going to like me? Are they going to hate me? Is this sandwich going to give me heartburn? Is this soda going to make me fat? Is this piece of pie going to affect my diabetes? I'm just going to pray over it. Pray over it. Let me tell you something. When you're dealing with the flesh, there's always fear. But when you're led by the Spirit, he says you were not born, you were not given back into the spirit of bondage again to fear. You don't have to live according to that bondage. You don't have to live according to that doubt and that fear. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Now let's talk about that for just a second. You know what adoption is? It's when they say, "You belong to me. You belong to me." It's not something taken lightly. It's not something done easily. There's a court process. It takes money. It takes time. You got to go and stand before the judge. You got to sign all the papers. You got to take all the responsibility. You know what? God did the same thing when He adopted us. Oh, Pastor, He didn't go. Oh, yes, He went to the judge. God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to live on this earth as a man, to face the doubts and the fears of the flesh. And then on one day, He allowed man to arrest Jesus. Jesus stood trial before the judge. And the judge says, "You're innocent," but the crowd said, "Crucify Him anyway." And the judge said, "I can't do nothing about it." And all of a sudden, Jesus bore the weight of the cross. He bore the weight of the torture and the suffering. By His stripes, we were healed. He goes up. He gets pounded, nails through His hands and feet. He gets placed on a cross. He carries the weight of the sin, of my sin and your sin. And His Father turns His back on Him for the first time. The sky turns black. Jesus cries out, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" As He carries the weight of my sin. And then, as the high priest, Jesus cries out, "It is finished." Now, I got to tell you, Pastor Johnson talked about "it is finished" this week. I didn't even realize this. I don't know how I'd miss this. Those three words, that's not just the end of the story. When the high priest would take the lamb of sacrifice in to sacrifice in the Holy of Holies, and he would shed the blood of atonement on the altar of atonement, when he was finished, he would come out of the Holy of Holies and he would announce to the crowd, "It is finished." The atonement has been done. The blood. The Lamb of God died on the cross. Jesus, speaking as the high priest, lifted up His voice and said, "It is finished." Oh, I got to share just a few things that Brother Johnson said again about this topic. Because he talked about how that Jesus went to John to be baptized. And John said, "I can't baptize you." And Jesus said, "It must be done." Does anybody remember who John was? Who was John's daddy? Who was John's daddy? John the Baptist. Who was his daddy? What was Zechariah? That worked in the presence of God. So when Zechariah died, who was to take over as the priest? John. But John couldn't take over as priest because John went and lost his head. Literally, read it. His head was served up on a silver platter. Jesus was a rabbi. Jesus had been to rabbinical school. Jesus had been trained. Because John had baptized Jesus, a rabbi, who was next in line to be the priest? So on that day, on that Day of Atonement, the Passover Sunday, Jesus, about to die on a cross, lifts up His voice and uses the word of the priest and said, "It is finished." Oh, now the Bible says that the earthquake and the earth shook and the veil of the temple tore from the top to the bottom, and the high priest rended his garment. Pastor, I thought we were talking about adoption. We are. He signed. You've adopted, correct? You had to sign paper saying you'd take care, right? You would provide for. when Jesus was on the cross, he signed the papers. I'm going to provide everything they need. I am responsible. I am the authority and to teach them and to provide. Oh, but it gets better. Because then they put him in a tomb. Now he's done the work. Then he becomes big brother. Because all of a sudden, he walks through the corridors of hell. And I just got to tell it the way I believe it. He walks down there and he says, hey, Satan, I remember you from when my daddy kicked you out. And you've been messing with those that my father just adopted. You have been messing with them. And I just come by here to tell you. I believe that's what Jesus said. I came by here to tell you. I come by here to tell you. I'm their big brother now. You want to mess with them? You got to mess with me. Give me the keys because you ain't got the power no more. And when he rose again on the third day, he rose again with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And what he told us, what he said by action and by deed, is that I've got your back, your big brother. You haven't received the spirit of bondage and back again into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You have been brought. You've been made an heir. You've been made an ambassador. But it gets better. By which you can cry. What does that mean? It means daddy. Parents, have you ever been there when your kids were out doing something and it doesn't go the way they planned? And all of a sudden, one of them gets hurt or gets afraid and they go, daddy! And you hear it. What do? I'll get to them in a minute. No, you get up and you get, boy, there's been many a times. But one year ago this weekend, Friday was a year. I was at Pastor Brian's house and I got a phone call. And on the other end of the phone, I heard, he didn't say daddy, I don't think, but he said, Dad, where you at? But Pastor Brian, Dad, I hurt my leg bad. All right, where you at? And I went to the skating rink. Pastor Brian went with me. We walked in, and there was a knot on the size of his leg, almost as big as my fist. And I went, this ain't good. And me and Pastor Brian pick up 6'1". 745-pound Michael. We struggled him all the way from the backside of the skating rink out to the car, at which time I realized that we had a wheelchair in the car. Why didn't I use that? We took him to the emergency room. They took him back for x-rays, and I'm sitting by his side the whole time. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there. They made me move back behind the computer, and they took the picture, and I looked at it. And I'll never forget. As soon as I saw the picture, and if you haven't seen the picture, I got it on my phone. The x-ray tech turned around and looked at me and said, sometimes you don't need a doctor to read it. Because it was obvious it was broken several places. His leg was all broke. We get in an ambulance. Beth and him get in an ambulance. I follow them a car. We go to Kansas City. me and Beth had nothing but upright chairs to sleep in the first night, what little sleep we got. They finally did surgery about 11 o'clock the next morning. That was the first time we really got to go to sleep, is when he went to surgery. We stayed with him. He woke up. He worried. He didn't want a surgery. Come back to the ER here. I want surgery. He had been tough. He never cried at the skating rink. But Mama showed up about an hour later. And when Mama walked in the room, big old tough Aunt Michael went, "Aah!" You know why? You know why we stayed by him? You know why we changed plans? Because he was our son. He belongs to us. He had basically said, "Daddy, I need you." And we were there. We have not been given the spirit of suffering and pain and fear, but we've been given the spirit of adoption. And because Christ paid the price of the adoption, we can cry out, "Daddy, the devil's after me." And Jesus says, "Oh, I've done taking care of him. Daddy, I'm worried." God says, "I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I gave you love and a peace and a sound mind. Daddy, give you wisdom and give you answers. Daddy, Daddy's there." Every time we cry, "Daddy," God shows up. We have adopted us. We are children. We don't have to earn his favor. We don't have to earn his presence. We don't. By which we can cry, "Abba, Father." Last two scriptures. Living as children of God. Then the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You come off that verse about Abba Father, about adoption. We shout about adoption. But we have this verse that we read over so many times. The Spirit Himself. Now, I want you to look at your Bible if you got it out. The word "spirit" is capitalized. The word "himself" is capitalized. Now, that does not mean that I wrote it. Now, if I write something, everything's capitalized. But you know what that means? That means that we're talking about the Holy Ghost. The Spirit that is God Himself. We believe in one God eternally existing in three parts, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit God, the member of the Godhead, the Spirit God that brought grieves with our spirit. That we are children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. You know what that means? That means if we don't believe it, it can't happen. Two things can't bear witness together if they don't agree together. You want to know your problem? You haven't borne witness with the Spirit. Nobody likes me. God has just abandoned me. And the Spirit is sitting over here saying, "Oh, I want you to understand that you're a child of God. But I can't help you until you believe it." You know what's holding you back? You won't let go and believe that you are a child of God. You won't live as a child of God because you won't believe you're a child of God. The Bible. We feel the encouragement and we feel the love. When all of a sudden, we began to realize who we are, when we began to understand who we are, it changes everything about our life. 24 and a half years ago, my wife made the best decision of my life. And she said, I do. We went from Ada, Oklahoma to Tulsa, Oklahoma, right behind the tornado. Should have been a clue. Couldn't even get to the hotel we were staying at for the first night of our marriage because the tornado went through that block. Hotel was on generator power. I should have known. She should have known. We were going to have an interesting marriage. We went through the hustle and bustle of our wedding day, and the next morning we got up, and I don't remember if it was breakfast or lunch, but somewhere it hit me. I'm married. I have a wife. I have a wife. This is so cool. Because it hit me. When Anthony was born, we thought we had 8 or 9 more weeks before he was coming. He showed up. When I held that boy in my hand, I'm a daddy. There is another name that somebody's going to call me. I'm a daddy. When all of a sudden we realize that we are a son of God, a daughter of God, the Spirit bears witness with us, and you're going to get up in the morning and go, I'm a child of God. Problems and pain and heartache is going to come your way, and you're going, I'm a child of God. You know what? You need to go talk to my daddy. I think my big brother already took care of this for me. Your big brother's, oh. Let me tell you something a little bit about your big brother. Your big brother's not a wimp. Your big brother's been through some torture. He's been through some fights. He's conquered the water, the wind, the waves, the rain. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He stared down Satan and didn't bat an eye. Oh, Satan can come at me all he wants, but Jesus, my big brother's already beat him. I don't have to worry about it. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Once we get to that place that we understand it, then we get verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Oh, I'm going to have some bad days. I'm going to suffer. It's okay. My family's already been through this. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to survive. Why? Because Jesus has already conquered. Jesus already knows how to win the fight. And if we will walk in His footsteps, we'll win the fight too. We've got to learn to live in the spirit of adoption. You don't have to earn God's favor. You don't have to impress God. All you got to do is trust God. You, You don't have to prove to God how bad you need him. God knows how bad you need him. All you got to do is trust him. You don't have to convince God how bad it is in your life. God knows how bad it is in your life. You just got to trust him. You don't need to show God how super spiritual you are. You just need to trust him. Because you're his son and you're his daughter. You've been adopted. The price has been paid. The court has been attended. The case has been settled. And it's finished. It is finished. All you got to do is trust. Pastor, how are you going to close this service? Sometimes I wish I was Curtis Silcox or David Tennyson. And we could just shout in the altars. Because, man, that feels good. Adoption doesn't happen in an altar. Adoption happens when we believe it in our spirit. Adoption happens when we bear witness with the Spirit himself that we are children of God. I want to encourage you. When you see yourself being pulled aside to the mind of the flesh, bear witness with the Spirit. I am a child of God. When you feel the tug of the world, bear witness with the Spirit. I am a child of God. When the devil comes and tells you you're not good enough, bear witness with the Spirit that you are a child of God. When other people don't treat you right, and they will not treat you right. Church people will not treat you right. Now let me explain. Sometimes they literally treat you wrong. Sometimes they don't treat you right because they don't treat you the way you think you should be treated. But that's another sermon for another day. But when you start feeling those pains, bear witness with the Spirit that I am a child of God. And if I'm a child, I'm an heir. An heir of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. And I'm an ambassador of God. Bear witness with the Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you right now. I thank you and I praise you for your word. Place the kernel of the truth of this sermon deep into the heart, spirit, soul, mind, and routine of everyone who hears this sermon. That we would cease to follow the flesh, but instead we would kill the flesh to follow the Spirit. That we would trust you. That we would believe in you, and that we would bear witness with the sweet Holy Spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, that we may suffer with him to bring glory to your name. We give you honor, we give you power, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.